you. We're still working on the topic of symbolism, and I'm digging into the most dangerous symbols of all time. We're going to talk a little bit about how these symbols have worked to affect things in history and how they are still affecting our mindset moving forward. And we're going to take a look at how dangerous symbols can be, even leading to genocide, mass murder, destruction of whole generations of people. And we want to prevent that. And that's why we're discussing these things on the End Evil podcast, not to encourage them, but to understand them so we can prevent, avoid, stop, or whatever it takes to make sure that these things don't happen to our children and grandchildren. So to begin this presentation, I'm going to share with you some slides. We're starting from the fire of history, and we're going to look at the most destructive symbols of all time. I have a little outline I put together, and basically we're going to introduce symbols and symbology, the most dangerous symbols in history and their impact on humanity, a little bit of historical overview of some of the perilous symbols, dangerous symbols such as the cross, which can have positive or negative connotations, some of the major atrocities such as the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Salem witch trials, the Rwandan massacre, and the Nazis' invasion and their concentration camps. The dual nature of symbols. Symbols can be both positive or they can be negative. And we're looking at more at the negative in this particular presentation so we can recognize the commonalities. I came across a presentation that I'll share the link with from a man named Gregory Stanton that's called The Eight Stages of Genocide. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rwanda genocide, the Nazi Germany, Israel and Palestine, how propaganda and dehumanization happens through symbols. And then we're going to look at some of the modern implications of these ancient symbols and how they carry forward today. I have an allegory I want to play with that's about, it comes from the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And there's a symbolic representation of authoritarianism and societal breakdown and societal behavior having to do with economic disparities and resource scarcity in modern society. We're going to talk about the cross. I already mentioned that. Solar symbology, the sun, the influence of dark occultists and symbology in manipulating and mind control. That what I talked about, the allegorical content is called Master Blaster from the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. We'll talk a little bit about that, tie that in, how that actually symbolizes modern enslavement that we're experiencing the modern through both corporate modern symbols, psychological manipulation of people and supposed power, and how that works, you know, branding people. And we're going to talk about fear and control and how that fragments society, keeps people from being able to work together, and creates an easy way for a small percentage, psychotic percentage of the population to dominate the rest of the population. And we're going to end with a call to action and a call to be aware of what's going on around us. I talked to you a little bit about a presentation I discovered online. And it talks about in that presentation the eight stages of genocide. And I think this is a pretty important thing to look at. They don't necessarily happen in one certain order, but there are tendencies that have been seen in all of these mass murder, mass ritual, mass terrible atrocities that have happened that we know about. And a lot of the similarities are summed up in these eight stages of genocide. And real quick, let's go through those eight things. Organization. Preparation, polarization, extermination, classification, denial, and symbolization and dehumanization. So we're going to compare and contrast these, but they all have aspects of symbology involved in them. And I'll take you on a brief little tour through that presentation I discovered so you can look at it for yourself. But basically, it was written in reference to the Rwandan genocide. And if you haven't looked into the genocide in Rwanda, I'll tell you it's quite a heinous thing. It's not a fun thing to learn about or know about, but it points to the reality. And this is a pretty recent thing that happened during the Rwandan genocide, which happened in 1994. It went on for 100 days. Over a million people were slaughtered, or so goes the internet report. But basically, they're saying 6 murder victims every 60 seconds of every hour and every day for more than 3 months. Now, this is an important symbolic representation of where we're headed as a people. The way things are going, we could experience something even far worse than this if we do not keep aware and conscious of the things that are going on around us currently, because the type of thing that's going on right now is very similar to this. So yeah, 4 women were violently sexually assaulted in every minute of every hour of every day for 100 days. Similar things like this have gone on through history. This presentation I was talking about was called the Rwandan Genocide and the 8 Stages of Genocide. It was by Gregory Stanton. But, you know, you could see classifying people, using symbols to classify people. Look at licenses started being used in Rwanda, just like the yellow stars and Jewish. It's happened in other places, Vietnam, similar things going on. Over and over through history, we see the same recipe. Some ruler, somebody in charge comes along, galvanizes groups, galvanizes people's anger against one another. And they start to find a way to classify people, to fragment them, to keep them separated from one another. And one of the ways this is done is by making people carry licenses. Does that ring a bell? Does that seem like modern times to you? Well, that is a sign of worse things to come. In Nazi Germany, the Jews were forced to wear the yellow stars. The Tutsis were labeled, and the Hutus were labeled as separate from one another in Rwanda, and this came down from higher up government plans. And if you think the politicians are in charge, I have another thing coming for you, folks. There are people running them. This goes way back in history. We can look at things like the Crusades, the Salem witch trials, and they all indicate a similar path of people using powerful symbols and stories of symbolic representations of things that may or may not have happened to convince people to go on these mass killing sprees. And as they dehumanize people and make people seem like less than human because they have a particular name or something they're using to brand people. Or now it's funny because in the modern day, people are getting adhered to brands rather than brands being adhered to people, but it all amounts to the same thing. We are the chess pieces on the board. The symbols being used are used to mesmerize and confuse us because symbols, as we've discussed, are more powerful than words. They are the very movement of things inside of our body and chemicals, and the very nature of reality has to do with symbols. And that is how reality communicates. So when people are able to touch into our unconscious realms and use symbols, they can galvanize people in large numbers to do things that perhaps people might not otherwise do. Invading cities, killing masses of people, burning towns, men, women, and children being destroyed in the name of something bigger than themselves. And this is where people are dehumanized and torn apart. Here we see some pictures from Rwandan massacre where the politicians were definitely involved and there was a signal given, and a certain percent of the population had already been primed to dehumanize other humans, and they just sliced them up all at once, all over the place at an insane rate. what led to this? One of the steps and stages that lead to this is a denial of the realization of what's happening around us, because it starts with subtle words, imagery, symbols that we don't necessarily think are a big deal. Modern day people call it conspiracy theories. They're in denial of the reality of what has happened over and over. Salem witch trials is a perfect example. It seems so preposterous now that people were hanging women, probably many of them young, you know, attractive women that could have bore children or could have been leaders in our society, or who knows, artists, dancers, anything, but were just killed or burned. I think more often than not hung, it seems, in history because of this belief system that had to do with a mixture of using crosses and Christianity symbolism that goes back before that to pagan symbolism.
The destructive symbolism and the Salem witch trials. The Salem witch trials are a huge example of the psychology of mass hysteria. The witch trials happened in 1692 to 1693, and they stand as one of the most wild examples of mass hysteria in history, where fear and superstition overpowered reason. The execution of over 20 individuals, the imprisonment of many people in this area, in this region. These trials serve as a chilling reminder of how belief systems can be manipulated to justify heinous acts. Let's look into some of the darker aspects of human psychology and humans' ability to manipulate one another into things we could not dream of. These trials took place in a deeply religious Puritan society in Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans believed in a very strict interpretation of the Bible, which included the existence of witches and the devil. This religious fervor created an environment ripe for fear, where accusations of witchcraft could easily spiral out of control. Economic disparities and differences in religious views. Fear played a crucial role in the spread of hysteria. Fear of witchcraft was exacerbated by religious leaders and local authorities. People looked up to these people who manipulated their fears to maintain control. Some of them were fighting for control. Some of them were fighting for power. These trials became a way to reinforce the community's religious and moral codes and for individuals to leverage their own personal needs, wants, and power, turning fear into a weapon against those who deviated from the norm. Almost like the game of cooties, these people used the hysteria and fed the hysteria in order to reach their own personal goals, and I'm sure to varying levels believed in the hysteria themselves. These trials began with a group of young girls in Salem Village who exhibited strange behaviors, which turned out to be more likely some type of sickness, but they were accused of witchcraft. The accusations were quickly taken up by the community, some sort of who knows how much that person was coerced into admitting to witchcraft, and panic was spread among the community, which led to a series of arrests. The ease at which these accusations were accepted highlights the power of the symbolism they were representing with the fear, shaping the collective behavior. People were allowing this to happen because they believed in these fantastical ideas of witches and witchcraft and devils. And as accusations multiplied and more people talked about it, it became more real in their minds, and the fear of witchcraft spread like wildfire through the community. The trials were marked by a lack of evidence and the use of what was called spectral evidence, where the accusers claimed to see spirits of the witches committing crimes. Apparently, the girls were having some types of fits, and they would scream almost like we modern see with Tourette's or something, barking like dogs, things like this. There are some theories that say there might have been particular plants that caused this, something they were eating, something they were taking that was causing some type of sickness.
Or, you know, as we know with hypnotism, when somebody does something and there's enough peer pressure, another person will do that thing, even if it's out of the ordinary, because people expect it at a certain point. So it goes to the power of belief. The Salem witch trials were characterized by a lack of due process, but swift executions of those found guilty. I'm sure once we did this, they did this once or twice, it became routine. The trials became a symbolic battle against evil, you know, sacrifice. It thinks, harkens the mind to different cultures in ancient history who we've accused of mass ritual sacrifice. Similar thing. Once it gets going, these people serve as scapegoats for the community's fears and anxieties. The executions were not just acts of justice, but also a demonstration of power of the community's belief system. And you can imagine the people in charge getting a type of thrill, just like a mass murderer would, as in these movies, like shows like Dexter, where, you know, there's a certain excitement to killing. And then what else would cause these people to keep doing it? The Salem witch trials teach us a valuable lesson about human behavior. They show us how fear can be weaponized, how people can be become symbols, or words can become symbols of evil when they do not truly describe evil, but the belief or the fear or the anxiety in one's, in a group of people's minds, to where they project as a group and begin to see something that may not even be there, leading to the persecution of innocent people. The Salem witch trials highlight the importance of critical thinking, skepticism, to prevent the spread of unfounded fears and the manipulation of belief systems. So similar to what we see in the modern times of people all believing in the same mass hysterical idea and taking ridiculous measures to deal with it. The Salem witch trials serve as a powerful example of how symbolism, fear, and manipulation can lead to tragic consequences. What road are we following now as a people, as a race? By examining this dark chapter in history, we can better understand the psychological mechanisms that allow such events to occur. And maybe, just maybe, we can work together to prevent them in the future. At least those who care. Talking about the Inquisition, we're going to talk about the Crusades. There's been a cyclical usage of the same types of symbols, even, which are crosses, ultimately. And we can see lots of emblems through history have been carved out of stone or carved into shields, you know, and the cross or the X actually can represent many things. X marks the spot, the time right now that we're experiencing, intersection between time and space is the current moment. And it's a powerful symbol because it also is a symbol of the man with his arms outstretched, and we'll show some images of that. But people being marched, these symbols were always carried, whether they were flags or crosses, were one of the most predominant through a lot of these atrocities I've discovered. One of the main things that made me realize that I did not want to be called any kind of particular religion, you know, like Christianity, which I grew up in, I didn't want to be assimilated into a group that has a history of destroying hundreds of thousands of other people and killing and mass murdering. The cross symbol actually has a deeper symbolism that has to do with the sun and the solar symbology. We can talk about that briefly. But, you know, it's death and rebirth, the birth of a new day. The cross can represent a human being. Like I said, with arms outstretched, it could represent the path of the solar bodies and the horizon of the planet we're on. And that symbol has been used for positive things, to give people hope and to care for one another through history. And then more often than not, it's been used to destroy and create carnage. So we have to understand the dualistic nature of all symbols. They are not, no symbol is necessarily bad or good. Even the Nazi symbol or I'll come back to that because I have a slide on that that shows Nazi symbol actually comes from earlier pagan symbols that had to do with balance, and it wasn't intended. You know, that symbol itself is something that's discovered by humans in nature, and then over time, by using symbology, humans have got to the point where they've started exterminating one another on a mass scale. And I personally think that's where we are headed as a race, because of the evil that's inundated the world, and because people's slow reaction to come to recognize this pattern, which we are retracing. We have a giant monkey on our back as a nation, as a people. We're carrying a burden. And what the term monkey on your back means is there's unnecessary weight. It's something that doesn't really necessarily need to be there, but you're letting it stay there. You're letting it just hang out on your back. And we are doing that symbolically as a people. A lot of the things that are going on are downright wrong, evil, bad, you know, however you want to put it, obvious on the face, but we're allowing it to continue. And so I thought the symbol of Master Blaster from the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome was perfect, because we're like this big, strong guy who's holding up these little wicked politicians on our shoulders. And they are orchestrating evil things being done in the world, such as bombing in other countries. Look, there's something on TV about little infants being thrown out of incubators. I guess I should go join the military and go kill other people in the other side of the world because of what these little twerps told us to do. So we're like the big idiot, the big clown, carrying the little evil clown on our shoulder. The percentage of our population that are doing these evil things are extremely small. Here's the symbology I was talking about with the arms outstretched, right? The human body is the shape of a cross, and our existence, every moment, is a divine opportunity to make a good choice in every moment or to make a terrible choice. And when we align ourselves with the wrong thought processes and forces of evil, then that what looks like a beautiful holy symbol becomes an evil symbol. See, it's actually also showing the crux of our electrical system in our body. And there are chakras and a system of movement of energy and electricity in our body. And that is partly the symbol of the cross as well. Also, the idea of sacrifice as brought up in Christianity explains that for every good thing we try to do in the world, there's some level of sacrifice. And that's kind of where we're at in history, where we can see things declining. We can see the morality of people on a mass scale is gotten far worse. And as we continue down this path, those of us that care have to take on the symbology of the Jesus character and stand up for what's right, even if that means trouble. But how do we stand up to trouble like this, the bombing of whole cities, never-ending wars, and going on and on? You know, there is no easy, simple path to stop these things. Our path right now is one of understanding. So we were looking at the symbolism of the cross. What do the rays represent? The light, the care coming out, the illumination from realizing the deeper and secret knowledge that comes with understanding what symbols mean and where they come from. So I'm wanting you to notice the solar symbology in the crosses that have been used through time, how the sun is going back into ancient times, something that has been used to mesmerize people and to convince them that, you know, there's some God that wants you to do a certain thing in a certain way, and your destiny or your fate is intertwined with all that, when we can see just the natural beauty of the sun and the sun's rays and the horizon of the sun are natural symbols that represent rebirth and growth. And yes, things have to be destroyed so they can be rebuilt. That's like the sun goes down every day and we experience night and we're able to see stars. And then at the new day, the sun rises again. So this is the positive connotation of some of the symbology. But with these Master Blaster psychopaths, the smaller than 1% of the world, who understand the psychology of humans, they've pushed us into our animal self. And we are like the large idiot carrying the psychopath on our shoulder, when we're strong enough to shake them loose, we just don't have the psychological ability. See, they show the big guy in a mask, his face is covered up, his consciousness is covered. He's dead, basically. For all intents and purposes, he's not thinking for himself. He's allowing this other little being to control him like a puppet. And that is exactly what we see going on in society. These powerful people would have no power over us because they're tiny compared to us. But because we allow ourselves to be manipulated, we are at the chopping block. And all through history, we can see times where people have gathered in crowds and done heinous acts, watched people get tortured, when deep down they knew better. They knew what was right somewhere in their heart, and they chose to do what the crowd said. And often this is because they've been mesmerized with symbology and tricked into doing things they would not otherwise do. And this is what brings us to the point of slavery. Many people think of slavery as just being simply only the black people brought from Africa in chains, but we can now recognize that slavery is a much bigger topic. The modern version of slavery is much more subtle, but it still leads to the same place. We will, without this, if we do not become conscious of this monkey on our back, of ourselves being owned and manipulated, then we will head deeper into slavery. A young person growing up in a city is born with the monkey on their back, the yoke of following authority, of standing in lines, is taught to children through all kinds of sneaky means, some of them that on their surface level appear to be beneficial. We have like boys and girls clubs, but they do these things like start putting kids in uniforms and wearing tie, which is a symbol of a noose around your neck. The stop signs, the standing in lines, the waving of flags, the special banners, it's starting to teach this hierarchical authoritarian collectivism. It's all kinds of little subtle ways. Why is the importance of standing in lines? The truth is, if you want to learn, if you put a group in a circle, everybody hears and listens and watches better. These square signs and these stop signs are all part of ancient symbology. Symbology that teaches people to basically worship the sun god, you know, and now that has changed in the modern form to these wicked politicians who really have no moral fiber at all. And these flags and stars and stripes are another form of finding a way to mesmerize people. And when they actually are fractionalized and divided more than ever, now you even see people making up their own flags. And, you know, it all comes back, harkens back, like I said, to if you look at the work of Nate Kapp or Brandon Martin or Douglas Martin, go back and look at the solar cults, the ancient religions from long ago, is very much the same thing that we see now. This is just a modern form of solar worship. We're worshiping patterns, right? We're worshiping similar symbols. The sun shines down. It's the bright thing. It's the new day. So the new politician always wants to familiarize the people with how close they are to being like a god, right? And so they do all these things. They stand up on stages. They put their hand on a Bible. They wave a flag. All these type of things to mesmerize the people with shock and awe. And then we have constant warfare going on in the background, in the backdrop, people being destroyed and killed, usually the poorest and, you know, smallest people who have the least are the most, you know, really the ones who are receiving the full debt and the full fury of what the rest of humanity is not doing anything about. We constantly have this conflict, for instance, in the Middle East, as just comes up every time that there's another political, presidency. There's always a conflict between Israel and Palestine, a totally one-sided, unfair conflict where one group of people just gets destroyed and pushed deeper into never-ending concentration camp-like conditions. What's the difference between World War II, stopping the Nazis from creating a concentration camp or creating a whole state that is a consistent long-term Nazi concentration camp, basically now run by U.S. military supporting Israeli troops. And then, you know, we got U.S. police going to Israel to learn their, you know, Krav Maga tactics, how to destroy people quickly and how to, you know, from actual people have experience terrorizing poor and homeless people, right? And stealing their home while you're at it. And not to say that the people on the other side of the flags are doing much better. Instead, they're breeding hatred and looking for, you know, many people joining hatred groups because of their own trauma, and instead of looking for a way to show the world what's going on there. We just keep letting the problem compound. Back to the Rwandan massacre. You know, it was one of those situations where the UN stood by and didn't do anything. Supposedly the world peacekeeper couldn't do anything about it. You know, meanwhile, you had people just being slayed and in mass and buried. Most of the burying didn't happen until later, is my understanding. Just massive destruction of people. Like I said, this is some old witch trial shit, and it's still going on. You know, we make these movies and we see the symbols and we think it's all goofy, and the genocides that have just happened in recent times aren't any different from these things that happened in ancient times. There's no real reason to torture people and destroy them unless you're trying to gain power over groups of people. These are some depictions of Salem witch trials, you know. Well, the people that called themselves in the name of God were just basically killing people that had a different belief system than they did, and torture on that path, and all kinds of making all kinds of excuses to do the killing that just people wanted to do anyway. Spend some time looking into the Knights Templar, and you'll see a small piece, part of the piece of the puzzle of the chain of evil that's gone on through history, of people that have gone and murdered, fought, and killed other people using carrying these flags, carrying these symbols, and claiming to be in the name of God. Well, they sack towns, murder people, and destroy villages, and rape women or kill women. Whether it's Salem witch trials or crusades or the Inquisition, it all amounts to the same thing. A dead end for human beings. And that's exactly where we're going in the current time. The signs are a little different. You know, some of these signs are ubiquitous and seem safety oriented to help us out, right? But we don't realize the more of these signs that go up all around us, the smaller our world gets, and the more we've allowed our freedom and our responsibility to choose things in the hands of other people, the more we allow ourselves to be manipulated by old symbols that lead us towards collectivism. If you haven't watched Mark Passio's Two Masks, One Face, then this is the time to do it. This is a good example of things that happen in there, where the old communist fist is re-brought back and rebranded to the Black Lives Matter. Does that, you know, tricks people? People want to fight for all the people that are getting put back down, you know, that aren't treated right. And that's true. You know, there are terrible injustices going on to many races in this country. Black people are one of the have been treated terribly. Mexican people, Indian people, you know, people of different races. There have been a lot of terrible things done, yet we have to be careful when we look at symbols and when we use symbols. Are we using them to help ourselves, or are we hurting ourselves? Because these symbols leave a spot in our memory, and there's archetypal aspects of them that mean things on deeper levels. And if we're not conscious of the meaning, then we can be branded by them. And that's why I bring up a lot of these brands we see, these corporate brands, are actually symbols of who they work for. The corporations work, you know, sometimes the politicians work for the corporations, sometimes the corporations work with and for the politicians, and all that layer of people are working for a stealthier, deeper layer of planners and occultists who use these symbols to affect your mind, right? That's what advertising is. And some of it seems kind of harmless and innocuous, but the truth is there is subversive symbolism within all of this. And we're going to later get into the Freemasonic symbolism, and you're going to start to see some of the connections between what's being done purposefully through some of this symbology to trick you into being a certain way or thinking a certain way. We've talked about symbolism in movies and symbolisms in TV shows. Many people get Nike hooked into doing it, doing things they might not do otherwise, because they think it's what is best for them socially, to fit in, to wear what other people are wearing, you know, to do what other people are doing. And then there's sneaky aspects of these symbols in the background that also symbolize terrible, evil things that you would not want to be part of. And yet, by supporting these politicians and these Hollywood wealthy people, you are actually supporting the sex trade and the slave trade of children. And some of this symbology has been used specifically for that. Disney sticks out for me with the Mickey Mouse Club and the people that have come out of that from MK Ultra mind control programming. And a lot of this is well documented. So slippery road ahead, slippery slope ahead, danger, ominous things in the future. There are signs in front of us that are pointing towards danger, right? We can use ancient symbology. We can study tarot. We can learn about runes. We can learn how to look at symbols in our own mind and create our own symbology as ancient ones did. This is a Nordic compass or cross. This is before the Nazis. This ancient symbol of the swastika, before that, was a symbol of harmony. And, you know, it was later co-opted and used in an evil way. And so now it's hard for any of us to use this symbol as it was originally intended, because it's been turned into something evil, like this symbol. So many symbols in and of themselves, they're like a knife. They're not evil until someone takes that knife and stabs somebody with it who didn't deserve to be stabbed. And then it does become evil. So we need to be aware of the crossover in our modern days. How many poisons and gadgets and types of technology have been thrust into our lifestyle? Are they fragmenting us and dividing us? Or are they helping us communicate better? Are we allowing ourselves to be constant state of fear because of symbolism that is freaking us out about every little thing? And shit, a lot of it's real. We need to be aware of the poisons and the toxins being released in our environment. So there's also symbols that help us be aware of these things. So it's good to see both sides of these symbols. When you see a symbol like this, that does mean you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't eat that thing, right? But then you see a symbol like that, and it symbolizes something good that you can use to get something to eat. But when you look deeper, you see a pyramid of power. And the bricks on that pyramid of power symbolize you. They symbolize you being trapped underneath the all-seeing power of the evil occultists that are designing the world the way they want it to be designed, and keeping you contained and organized within a matrix of words and signs and symbols that keep you confused. Look at all the symbology on these bills. It's endless. You can get a microscope. You can fold these bills in different ways. There's so much sigils and symbology in them that most people don't understand. It's mind-blowing. Why? Why is that? Because there is a very poisonous ruling class, and there are psychopaths in this world. And that's why we don't want to just, you know, we need to take hazard, right? The biohazard is human beings that don't have responsibility, that don't recognize symbols on multiple layers, that want to just take things literally for what they are and seek their own desire, which is actually a form of de facto Satanism. And that is just a modern term that is explaining something that's happened all through time, and that is people taking the path of stealing of raping, of torturing, in order to make their life easier without thinking the long term. What happens when we do this is it affects future generations, it causes trauma in people and further division that impedes us from being able to learn these lessons the next round, the next generation, because we're so traumatized from the previous generation, invaded and sacked and stole and raped. And, you know, it's getting ready to happen again. Do you carry a driver license in your wallet? The Rwandan massacre, one of the signs and steps on that path, were creating these type of licenses. So these people were distinguished and classified. Are you being distinguished and classified? Let's look for a minute at Jerusalem. How many times has Jerusalem been warred over and taken? The Crusades had 9 or 10 different crusades, battles, and fights where this area of land was fought for, taken back. One religion claims it, another religion claims it. All along, hundreds of thousands of people dying. Is it worth it? You know, is the town what's really valuable, or was it the people that were all killed? Who are we going to put on the chopping block next, right? That is the big question. And should we allow ourselves to be continued to be owned and carry this anchor on our back while we're indoctrinating our children? Or are we going to awaken to the ancient mysteries and recognize that the sun and the moon and the stars and our human bodies are all gifts that contain symbols with them that we can interpret in our own ways and we can use to craft a better future for humankind? Or we can use these symbols to fall for stories, fantastical stories, and be convinced of gods and people far more powerful or knowledgeable than ourselves, and give up our responsibility and right to own this planet. And, you know, it's really up to us to choose to have discussions on these things, to be able to see, you know, the forest through the trees, to be able to push that monkey off our back, that yoke of being owned by this ancient knowledge that knows how to manipulate the mental vibrations of people on so many levels. And, you know, we need to learn to become enlightened our own selves, to open our own inner eyes and our crown chakra, and to be able to have, you know, honest discussions and debates and seek what's best for all of us, you know, using roundtable type structures. If you look at these pictures of modern patriotism, it's so similar to the ancient pictures of, you know, just people owning other people and using these symbols to further fragment people and say, our side's better than yours. We know what's right. You're all wrong. And the whole voting system invalidates, you know, the half of the population, up to half of the population that don't want what the other, you know, slight majority might have stomped on them for. And it's obviously not the best way to go about things. It's a biohazard to all humans to continue trying to claim ownership on each other. And we can do better, and we can get back to a time in history when we didn't do these things to one another. If there was such a time, and if there wasn't, it's time that we create it. And how do we do this? You know, coming from where we're at, traumatized people, all these symbols flying around in the internet and on the screens all around us, right? Well, we become scientists, we become symbologists, we become semioticians. We recognize things for what they are. We're able to call them off a mile away. We're not so easily duped into becoming a zombie army that goes and sacks another town and starts the whole system over. Trust me, folks, there are people in the world that want to see you crippled, dead, or just following their rules or laws, right? And the only way we don't become that and lead our future generations into that same problem is by making a clear choice now and having discussions. And I'm hoping that these discussions on symbology help you see through the obfuscation and see the way that you're being, people are trying to manipulate you. And the more that we can see that and be conscious of it, the less we will be victims. And the more we can start leading a better future for all of humans. Evil is the destruction of freedom.
Hey friends, this is Chris Jansen. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Welcome to the End Evil Podcast. Just wanted to draw you...